her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man.
It was a day of greatness yesterday. UConn crowned national champions as they beat handily South Carolina. Not a great game, but good for UConn. Winning again. And then there is the Alex Ovechkin moment. I know where I was when I got the alert on my phone. I was actually here at the 3rd Street Market. We were having lunch. And I said, oh, it happened. Alex Ovechkin has passed Wayne Gretzky. Now, we thought that this would happen. This wasn't one of those things where it was very fluky and you were like, oh my gosh, out of nowhere. Like, we'd been building towards it, as one does. You find yourself tuning in maybe to these games a little more frequently than you would otherwise. And so it did happen yesterday. And I loved the celebration that he had. Gabe, did you see the video?
The belly flop?
Sliding across. I mean, just it's like a kid, right? When you got a slippery surface out there, you baseball, like a rain delay or whatever, they've got the tarp on the field. You just go out there and start sliding through, just have a little bit of fun. It was a cool moment for hockey. It was a cool moment for sports in general. And it got us thinking about some of the other records. So people didn't think that the record would be broken. People didn't think that anyone would be able to pass Gretzky's 894. And here we are, right? That was the 894 was the number. Now we're at 895. So we got thinking about some of the other records in sports that'll be tough to pass. Gabe, what were some of those records that we were discussing this morning? I know we said Wilt, we said DiMaggio, and Favre was on the list.
Yeah, so I mean, I think you start with Cal Ripken's consecutive games played streak. Doesn't seem like that's going to be going down anytime soon.
2,632 consecutive games.
It's a lot. It's a lot of straight games playing in baseball, so I don't think that one's going down. You mentioned Brett's consecutive games record played for a quarterback. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen because, admittedly, even if Favre was playing right now trying to do that, he wouldn't be able to, just based on the way the rules have changed, especially around concussions, the way they check more stringently for that. So I would put that up there. Wayne Gretzky, while that record was broken, his points record's never going to be broken in hockey. That one's absolutely insane. You could take away all of his goals and he'd still be the all-time points leader in NHL history.
Yeah, 1,963 career assists, 2,857 career points.
I believe he's 1,000 ahead of Jaromír Jágr, who's second on that list.
That's why I look at this whole Ovechkin thing, and we tend to put everything through the LeBron Jordan prism, right? Where I don't think there's a big whichever way you go with LeBron and Jordan, the gap is very, very small, right?
Yeah.
The gap between Ovechkin and Gretzky is still big.
Gretzky
is the best, will always be the best. He's unbelievable. There's a gap. But going back to Brett, what makes Brett so impressive is the rules that Brett Pitt played under.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't even sneeze on a quarterback. So I don't know how fair that record is.
Well, I don't think it'll
ever be beaten, but yeah. I don't think it's very fair.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to touch what Brett did. Because, again, like, you do get hit you and you go through, you know, concussion protocol. That's not something Brett had to go through. And I'm sure there were a couple of times he played when he probably wouldn't have been able to play under today's rules.
But Brett also didn't have the protection of you can't hit a quarterback.
Yes.
He played through
a lot. Yeah. I mean, when he was doubtful, he played with the ankle. You've told that story a bunch of times. He barely walk on it, throws 5 touchdowns against the Bears. So he played through a lot in order to do that, and not a lot of guys can or are able to do that.
Let me ask you a question. Do you guys have any idea who the player is, non-quarterback, who has the most consecutive starts in the league?
Is it a kicker? Because that's not fair either.
I know Thomas had an impressive run.
Yeah, Joe had a really impressive run. But that's the other thing, like the longevity of Brett.
Yeah.
To do it. So, yeah, is it a kicker? Is it Mason?
I'm going to look up. You said who? Just a second ago?
Joe Thomas.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just looking that up.
But Joe retired early.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. He wouldn't have been able to touch it.
His body, after playing so many consecutive games at such a grueling position, started to break down.
Is it the body, or is you can only take so many losses?
Well, he got his hip replaced last Monday, so I would say body first. Right. Well,
Jason Witten, 179 consecutive starts, and to be fair, Joe Thomas not that far off. He had 167 consecutive starts, but Jason Witten has the record as a non-QB for the most consecutive starts in the NFL. Tim Brown, 176, Walter Payton, 170, and then I think it's 167 for Joe Thomas. That feels like something that could be...
I just don't know. I just think that's really hard to do because teams are even more cautious, it feels like, especially toward the end of the season. Like, oh, you're a little banged up. Well, we've got our playoff seating wrapped up. Let's just go ahead and rest.
Now, here's something interesting for you guys. You want to talk about the nuance of what we're discussing. Joe Thomas had the consecutive snap record of 10,363. So snaps versus games. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we just mentioned Jason Witten. He's not out there for every snap.
No.
Right?
Yeah, because he's cycling in and out.
Right. But Thomas being out there for every snap, that obviously, is that more impressive than the starts? Yeah, probably.
I mean, do I think it's more impressive than Brett's starts? I do not.
Not Brett's starts, Jason Witten's starts. Jason Witten holds the record as a non-QB for the most starts at 179. Now, I said Thomas was close at 167, but his record is actually consecutive snaps. Playing every snap of a game?
Yeah, that's a lot.
A lot of game,
but that's out there. Again, that's what's expected of you at that position. You know, other positions like, oh, hey, I just ran a go route. Now they're going to naturally take you off the field, even though you're not hurt. So I guess that's, while impressive... I don't want to diminish that, but I'm not as impressed.
If I had to put down everything I own on one of them, it's Cy Young's complete games, 749.
You know who's
career.
The closest active?
Somebody with three.
Justin Verlander has 26, so he is over 700 behind, potentially tying Cy Young's complete game record.
You're saying the one that you would put your house on that will never be broken?
Yes. Correct. Yes. That ain't getting touched.
Feels safe, Josh. Yeah, good job.
That one.
I think Cy Young about, would throw like back-to-back doubleheaders. It's insane.
How about hits in games? Who has it?
DiMaggio?
DiMaggio?
Yeah, 56.
What's been the closest to him ever?
There's been some notable ones where we were doing like live
30s,
updates.
Though?
Let me look it up.
No, so Paul Molitor had one when he was with the Brewers. I think he got to 42 when he was with the Brewers.
The player who came closest to Joe DiMaggio's 56 game hit streak is Pete Rose, who hit safely in 44 consecutive games in 1978.
Okay, so that was not as...
Yeah, well, so that one and Pete Rose's, like, overall hits, 4,256, doesn't feel like that's going down.
Yeah, with the way the game is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you get a torpedo bat in there, maybe somebody does come close to
it. Well, again, you need the torpedo bat plus the Brewers pitching staff. Like, you need
that
combination.
Basketball? Are there records in basketball that are...
Well, I got Wilt's points, we talked about
that. Yeah, 100? I mean, 100 in a single game is not going to go down.
I don't know, but again, with the clip, they're hitting threes now.
Again, the closest has been Kobe.
I mean,
and it wasn't even that close.
Celtics 8 straight titles. That one seems pretty much never going to be touched.
I don't know. I also think that, honestly, whatever the all-time record that LeBron sets for points is going to be incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Because he was good from day one. Got to skip a year because that was before one and done was a thing. So he got to come straight out of high school. He gets that extra year. He's been incredibly durable, and now he's playing at an incredibly high level into his 40s. Like, that's not just a you have to have this luck in, but you're going to have to want to at that age to do all the things that LeBron has had to do to keep his body in shape to be able to play at a high level.
You know which one I want to see broken the worst of all of them? Is the
the most?
Yes. Okay. The perfect season in the NFL, so I don't have to see the damn Dolphins pop their champagne.
Yeah, that's getting
and Larry Zonka and all those guys be all high and mighty about their perfect season. Someone please break that.
Gabe, what about no more Tiger, Jack's record?
Yeah, that's not going to get touched. Like, golf is just way too deep for somebody to go on a run and win 19 majors to break that record.
There were some things in golf going on at that time that precluded a lot of people.
This list that ESPN.com put together, if you want to check it out, it says ranking most unbreakable records in sports. Steph Curry, 4,000-plus career three-pointers. That, of course, is an active record. They're saying that it would be very difficult for that to be eclipsed at any point, given, again, how long Steph Curry has played.
Yeah, but he also had some injuries early on. Like, I could see that one going down.
Really?
Especially at the rate that threes
are getting
shot. I mean, they're shooting
40 threes a game sometimes. Like, who was it? Just, yes, some shot one from nine from three, and it's like guys never had the opportunity to shoot one from nine. Because if you missed one, if you're one from four, you're not shooting another.
Exactly. Yeah.
They just keep shooting.
Don't take
they
that don't shot. Emmett Smith, 18,355 rushing yards. The active leader is Derrick Henry, who obviously could continue adding to that list, but being just under 7,000 back makes that feel tough. Even if you have a clip of 2,000 yards per season, we're still looking at 4 years or 3.5
So he just has to have a historic season, 4 years
year
in a row, and he's there. And he's there.
Emmett Smith's record.
Honestly, I think for the same reason I was just talking about with LeBron, I mean, breaking Jerry Rice's receiving record is going to be really tough.
That sits at 22,895. DeAndre Hopkins, the next closest, with just
He's the active leader.
Just over half. Yes, the active leader at just over half. What are some of the other guys who are closer, though? Was like Randy Moss.
Oh, Randy Moss was closer. Yeah. Yeah. In terms of.
But you're not going to see receivers anymore play. And what did Jerry play till he's 40?
42.
Yeah.
He had 1,200 receiving yards.
Yeah.
As a 40-year-old. 40 years old, he had 1,200 yards receiving.
Compiler.
Yeah, but one of those catches.
It's fine. It's a name, but nobody's going to touch it.
Yeah.
I would take a Packers receiver who could compile like that.
Well, I was trying to see how many Donald Driver had. I just Googled it, but it was 10,137.
It's a hell of a career.
Played for a long time.
Not even close. Jerry doubled him up.
What else? We mentioned Cy Young. You mentioned that Justin Verlander is the active leader with 26 complete games. They just don't play the game the same way. Wilt Chamberlain, in addition to the 100-point game that everybody talks about, he averaged 50.4 points per game in a single season back in 1961-1962. Wow. He averaged 50 points per game that year.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it says active leader James Harden, who in 2018 and 2019 season averaged 36.
That's pretty good. He got close.
Could you do that, though? Could you be like, I mean, what is Giannis averaging this season? 30-plus, right? Because I keep seeing the numbers, 36, 35. He's averaging 30-plus. But could you be a really good guy on a really bad team and get close to 50 points per game?
No, because you're getting traded to a good team as soon as you can.
Well, for that 1 year.
Trade deadline comes up in February. Adios.
Simone Biles has 30 world gymnastics gold medals. Now, that is the Worlds and the Olympics. I think she only has 7 golds in the Olympics. But I did see Greeny talking about Michael Phelps this morning, who has 23 gold medals. And that may be a record that will be tough to break.
Yeah, because, again, it only comes around once every 4 years. Yeah. So you have to be peak that often.
And Serena, you have to be in multiple events, and excel at multiple events every year. What about Serena?
In there at all? Majors?
So she doesn't even have the women's record, I believe, for most majors. I believe she's second on that list.
Huh. Wow. Okay.
Looking it up right now, who has the most majors in women's tennis? Margaret Court holds the records for the most Grand Slam titles in women's tennis with a total of 24, followed by Serena Williams, who had 23 Grand Slam singles titles. Now, they said most in the open era, so there obviously is a distinguisher there. Steffi Graf, 22. Helen Wills. Didn't know. I'm not familiar with Helen's game. With 19 Grand Slam
titles. She's doing work back in the 20s.
Is that when she was there? I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Is that what it says? What about the UConn Huskies? We started talking about the greatness of the Huskies yesterday, winning another title. 111-game winning streak. I remember in my early years at ESPN doing a feature when they had their 100th win in a row. I went and talked to a local elementary school and asked the kids what the significance of 100 was. And you know what they said? 100 is a very big number.
Prove them wrong.
You're right.
That one's never going to get broken.
12 national championships also for Geno.
Yeah. because the depth of the women's game, much like when Wilt was playing, right? Like, Wilt could score 50 points and 100 points because the depth of talent just wasn't there the way that it is now. And as the women's game continues to get more and more popular, you have these stars, they're playing on television. The women's game is getting deeper and deeper, and therefore you can't just run through teams the way that Geno did, you know, 20 years ago.
Chu, you have any idea who the active leader for consecutive games played in Major League Baseball is? It's a total wild card. I don't expect you to know, but I thought maybe there's a random chance that you've heard this guy. You
got the guess? Active leader?
Active leader.
I know who it is.
I'll tell you, Joshy, I'll tell you how many games this guy has played in a row. It's 629. You have any idea who the active leader for consecutive games played in Major League Baseball is?
No.
It's not Mike Trout.
Another.
Correct. Another.
Shoot, yeah. Just played his greatest hits today. Drive by on Jair. Drive by on Mike Trout. Chewie's playing it.
Like, Mookie? Is Mookie old enough or no?
He's someone like Manny Machado?
Nope. You want to guess, Gabe?
I believe it's Matt Olson.
It is Matt Olson. Who's he with now? The Braves?
He is the Braves first baseman.
And he is hitting. 233. Again.
Charlie.
Well, sure, but they got to keep putting him in the lineup is my point.
They will. Trust me. They will. That Brewer's going to stop putting Christian Yelich in the lineup? Nope. He's going to be out there.
No, I suppose you're right. Fun conversation. What is the record that you think will never be broken or the record that you think is next to be broken? I'm not sure that we went through what we think is next to be broken or could be broken next. These seem very far out there. So maybe I'll have the guys marinate on that for a few moments. The record that could be broken next. We'll talk about that after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
That green color jacket is pressed and primed for this weekend. It's the big tournament, and it's Lake Long Resort Golf Week here on 94.5 ESPN. Golf cart, drinks, and snacks for under $15 a person. Find out more, lakelawnresort.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I was
good
getting.
Good pop. Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Man, our loyal listeners make me laugh. We talk Packers wall to wall most days, right? Top to bottom, left and right, start to finish. Green Bay Packers. Every once in a while, I'll get somebody to be like, talk about something else. My goodness. Talk about the Bucks. Talk about the Brewers. Talk about Marquette. Talk about anything other than the Packers. We're regurging at this point. And we're going, yeah, but there's still stuff. We still got Packers. People are interested. The draft is less than a month away in Green Bay. So today we don't talk Packers, right? Not a lot of breaking news over the weekend. Not a lot of Packers stuff to get into. We'll talk about Matthew Golden in just a moment. And I got somebody on the Carbless Talking text line jumping in. Don, 8 in the 262, says, isn't there any Packers news to talk about? Well, Don, I'm glad you asked. Yes, we could talk about Matthew Golden. So give me the breakdown on how this all went down, guys, because as far as I could tell, people were CSIing their way to the determination that Matthew Golden, wide receiver for the Texas Longhorns, was in Green Bay this weekend. I assume it was not initially announced. Is that right, Gabe? Because Matthew Golden posted a picture from the airplane window of the lights of a city. And something like hashtag blessed. I'm making that up. I don't know exactly what it was. But what I loved was savvy Packers fans then took a map of Green Bay and basically overlaid it with the picture he had taken to show where the streets lined up and said, crack the case. He's in Titletown.
Yeah, it's not like the Packers are releasing the names themselves of all these people that are coming in for visits. So, yeah, every once in a while you got to do work or, you know, whoever the kid's agent is, leaks it to, you know, whatever reporter that, yeah, this is what they're doing. And, yeah, basically people cracked it. Reporter figured it out as well. And Matthew Golden, one of the Packers' pre-draft visits. Again, one of those guys I think you're kind of doing your due diligence on just in case he slips and he falls down to you at 23. But I can't imagine that Matthew Golden's going to be available to win the Packers pick late in the first round.
So last week, Joshy, when Chewy was rattling off who was his premier wide receiver, you thought he was describing a guy like Golden, right?
Yeah, Chewy, we had Chewy describe because we gave, Gabe and I gave like our draft crushes, and we sort of made Chewy give us traits on the person he was looking for. And to me, the traits he gave, which were like being able to stretch to the field, kind of like Amon-Ra St. Brown, also can function, you know, in the middle of the field as well. It seemed to fit Golden pretty perfectly. The reason we gave him Emeka Ebuka was because both Gabe and I thought he was likely to go before the Packers pick at 23. But as we know, sometimes what we see via the mock drafts and the Mel Kiper rankings, those don't bear out to be true. And it would indicate to us, him being on a visit with the Packers, that the Packers at least believe there is some chance he will be there at their pick at 23. And they also have interest in him if they're bringing him in for these visits, because as we know, these visits usually are indicative of guys they either are planning to draft or in some cases need better medical information, but there's nothing really about Golden that would be like medical red flag.
Who do you think's better?
Depends on your needs, I think.
What do you mean? Between Golden and Ebuka?
I don't know, just the eye test, yeah. I mean, I've watched more Ebuka than I have Golden.
I lean towards the faster guy, which would be Golden.
Well, but Emeka Ebuka is a better route runner.
Yeah.
Which is what I want. I'll take the better route. I'll sacrifice a little bit of speed, you know, the low 4.5s instead of mid 4.4s for a good route runner all day long.
Well, neither one of them are going to be a big body guy. I mean, we're looking at 5'11", maybe 6 foot, depending on which publication you believe.
Which pair of shoes he wore to the...
The recruiting boots?
Exactly. So, again, when we've been talking about guys on the draft board, who's the kid from Arizona who's a bigger body?
Petro McMillan.
Yeah, I can't get his name, man. I keep trying.
Petro. T-Mac. McMillan.
Yeah, T-Mac. I think people call him Tet. Tet McMillan.
Okay, I'll go with Tet McMillan because that rolls off the tongue a lot easier. He's the big-bodied receiver who is a bit of a crush. There are a lot of Packers fans who say, ooh, man, if we could get him, he answers a number of needs. But if it's more realistic to get a Matthew Golden or an Emeka Ebuka, which I still think is going to be tough, I still think Packers would likely have to jump up. Well, here's the thing. Maybe if you think it's 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, and you think that they're interchangeable, even though I think they're different, if you think they're interchangeable, maybe you figure you'll get one or the other. Is that a fair way to look at it, Joshy? You could get one or the other?
I think so, but as we know, the Packers are, they based on traits and they have size and speed thresholds. So I don't know if Ebuka is going to fit within that because I believe based on his size, he was disappointing in terms of speed. Golden, I believe, was the fastest, one of the fastest guys at the combine.
Yeah.
Like altogether. So obviously we've talked about the Packers' need for speed. That guy in Golden would fit it. I do think he's more than just a speed guy. I don't want him to categorize as that. Some people think he's better in the slot. Some think he can play outside. There are also questions about his production because I believe he wasn't all that productive early in his time at Texas.
Well, how much do you think the versatility element plays into this? Because versatility is a strength of Emeka Ebuka, can play both inside and outside and is a good blocker. We know Green Bay loves the versatility. Right, and we talk about it a lot of times on the offensive line, but it extends to other positions as well. Is that something that you think the Packers would prioritize, Chew, over somebody who's just really, really good at ostensibly one thing?
I think they have their inside guy. I think they like their inside guy, that being Reed. So I think they just want a pure Z. Z's typically your number one receiver in the offense. I think they feel that they may, and it's all going to depend on price. I think they have their X in Watson because he did get better. You know, obviously he's got a little setback with the knee, and next year it'll just come down to pure dollars. But I like him at X. I think they're just going to focus in on who can be the Z receiver in this offense for the next 10 years. And I think they look at Devontae. I think they compare everything kind of to Devontae. How tall is Devontae?
He was 6'1", I want to say, right around 6'1". That. 6'1"? Yeah, something like that.
So I think that's what they're going to do. They're not going to worry so much about inside. Like I said, I think they have that guy.
I think, interestingly enough, as much as they love versatility on the offensive line, defensive line, stuff like that. Their wide receivers have been pretty much, you can play this guy here and that's it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Reed can't play outside.
No.
They've made that clear. Well, Watson, you put him on the outside and keep him there. Do I think they want a guy to be able to do that? Sure. But I don't think it's a detriment if they're better at one than the other.
I would agree, but I think the best receivers that Ted drafted, you could move around. Like Greg yes. Jennings moved around. You could put Jordy Nelson in the slot. Obviously, Devontae Adams could move around as well. Like that was like the hallmark of they had versatility, and you can move them around.
What I'm trying to figure out is, did they move that guy around just because he was so damn good, or because they, you know what I'm saying? Like at a certain point,
well, they moved Jordy around because he was that good.
Well, a lot of times they had
Randall Cobb,
right? Yeah. But CeeDee Lamb like also gets moved around a lot, and so does like a lot of the best wide receivers. They just play multiple positions
correct.
Because they're good at all of them.
Yeah, because that's what creates stress on the defense,
right?
Well, let me throw one more name out here, too, before we move on here. What okay. about Luther Burden, the kid from Missouri? Because while his numbers are not even with the Emeka Ibukas, who's the other guy we were just talking about? I lost
Matthew
his name.
Golden.
Matthew Golden. Thank you very much. He also is getting comped there. He is also being mocked to the Green Bay Packers at 23. Of those three, I think people would look at the numbers and say, well, he's probably the third of the three. But if you can convince yourself that all three are worth a spot at the Green Bay Packers, maybe they do go wide receiver with that first pick. I have been of the belief that they will not. But, man, if you've got three options like that and you think they can really upgrade your wide receiving core, Chew, it wouldn't surprise me then.
You don't think he'll drop to the second round?
Which one?
I could see the kid from Missouri.
He could. It's possible.
Because I could see them taking, I just still think it's going to be an interior D lineman. And then trade up in the second to get him.
They would have to trade
because,
up. I don't think Burden would last all the way to where they are.
I think he's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Really?
But honestly, when we're talking about Emeka Ibuka, I wonder if Josh is right. Like, the fact that we know Goody brings in guys that he likes and wants to potentially draft, and we know, and again, maybe they bring in Ibuka still at some point here because they've got a handful of visits left. Bringing in one of those guys over the other just is clearly telling me they have a preference here, and I wonder if the Ibuka lack of speed almost disqualifies him from the Packers.
Yeah, but if you look at Ohio State receivers, there really hasn't been a bust. Has there been a bust that you can remember in the near future?
In the recent past?
Yeah. Or sorry.
I mean, Michael Thomas, when he came in, was good.
He was good, Gabe.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he like flamed.
Because he's a nutcase.
He flamed out very quickly. But yeah, he was good. He was good for the first handful of years and then just.
Yeah.
Just completely.
So they might
fell
like
off.
The school. They might like, they know Ohio State out of high school is getting the best receivers in the country.
Yeah, but
right?
I mean, also like Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, like. There's good guys that come there, and it seems like
LSU
they're pretty...
has a say
right.
in it as well.
Yeah.
And it seems like, they're pretty good at picking them, but are they top end? Or are they just pretty... Like, Chris Olave, good. Not great. Good.
Yeah, but a good first-round pick. You just don't want to swing and a miss. Who's the kid from TCU that was absolutely horrible that went to the Eagles?
And they dumped him.
Yeah, Jalen Rager.
Rager's who you're thinking of?
Rager. Horrible. And there were some good receivers around. Didn't he go before Justin Jefferson?
Yes. I believe he went the pick right before.
Vikings threw a party when they made that pick.
I think that's what GMs, they just don't want a big swing and a miss, right? I think most people say Olave, I'd take him all day long, first round pick. Middle of the pack or in the 20s, and I think they're fine with it.
Well, I was thinking of Quentin Johnston. I'm glad that that's not who we were talking about there as being a bust. I was like, can we just wait and see how that shakes out from the 2023 draft? Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning, and here's how I want to phrase this. If the Packers take a wide receiver with their first pick, again, there's a chance they'd have to move up to get the guy they want. Who do you want? Who do you want of those four guys that we just mentioned there? Because we mentioned T-Mac. We're talking about Golden because he was in Green Bay this weekend on a visit. And then I just mentioned the Luther Burden as an option as well. And then Emeka Ibuka from Ohio State, who obviously has the national championship under his belt. If you look at the numbers, in 16 games, 16 games are guys that played. Let's go 12 games each. I got the list in front of me here. Abuka had 5 receptions per game. He averaged 5 receptions per game for 731 total yards, 60 total yards per game. These are averages, of course. Burden averaged 65 yards per game. Golden, 48 yards per game. I wish I had touchdowns here because that to me is actually important, how often they found the end zone. But their numbers are eerily similar, guys. Very similar. There's a drop-off here or there for yards, or there's a drop-off here or there for receptions. But they're all kind of right there in that mix. And again, to Chewy's point, who's better? I think it depends on what you want. I think it depends on what you need from the wide receiver position to determine who's going to be the best fit for you. So I am curious who our loyal listeners would want as a wide receiver if you had your choice of those 4 guys. We'll take a break, roll on right after this, but I want to tell you guys about my friends over at Professional Construction Inc. in Waukesha. Our handy projects around the house, not the easiest for Dario and I to do on our own. And that's why we always call our friends over at PCI, whether it's a remodeling project, a home addition, or we're thinking about building a new home. We got this issue. You guys might remember a few years ago, we had a balcony off the backside of one of our bathrooms, real random, but it was leaking into our house whenever there was a snowstorm and the snow would pack onto that balcony. So we had our friends over at PCI come over and just close off the door to our kids' bathroom. Well, now we got to do something with it, man. We can't just have plywood up over the door, you know, forever. So we got to have our friends over at PCI back out to the house so they can tell us. Maybe they'll put a window there for us instead. Maybe we move the door so we still have access to the balcony. Who can say? You know who can say? The folks over at PCI. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They build relationships and they do exceptional work on your projects. Learn more about PCI. See their work. Maybe even see some of the projects they've done at our house at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it's garbage. It doesn't work.
Chewy.
Am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Where were you 10 years ago this week? Know where I was. I know where Gabe was. I know where this guy was.
Do you know where I was?
Well, you weren't. You were there, but you weren't there.
No, I wasn't there.
You weren't there?
No, I was in Lithuania.
I don't know where this guy was.
I knew where you were, Benny.
I knew she didn't know where I was.
I just assumed you were at the games.
No.
My bad.
With the 8-hour time difference, I believe these tips are kind of late.
Oh, they're so late.
I remember watching this game at like 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. in Lithuania in my bedroom.
Oh, that's amazing. So we have Ben Brust on the show this morning.
Is it? Let's ask Josh.
Is it amazing that you played basketball in Lithuania?
No, is it amazing being in Lithuania at 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. watching the game?
Only you can tell me about Lithuania.
5,000 people village, no one spoke English, and yeah. It was not great.
Ate your meals at the local factories.
Factories. If I want a chicken, I'd say bok 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 bok. Like they literally couldn't understand me. We were sponsored.
What do they speak?
Lithuanian, and we were sponsored by. Yes, Chewy. Okay.
I don't know if it was Spanish.
I mean, there's parts of everyone Spanish. It's right next to Russia.
He doesn't know where Lithuania is.
Oh man. Not shocked at either. You not knowing and him thinking Spanish is what they speak in Lithuania.
Me not knowing that you weren't at the Final Four when Wisconsin knocked off Kentucky, ending their undefeated season 10 years ago. So why are you here, Ben?
Great question.
Talk about Lithuania.
Yeah,
of course.
I gambled all my money away. Smoked my first cigarette outside a casino.
What'd you do if you want beef? Did you moo like a cow?
It was a lot of
pork. No, you went K-Paso.
Okay. So I didn't oink at them if I needed pork.
Wait. I'm not going to miss this opportunity to have you oink on the radio. If you had wanted pork, how would you have told them?
Please?
Right, I'm out.
Por favor.
Not gonna get any better than that.
Por favor. Baxter, you don't speak Spanish. So 2015 was obviously an unbelievable season for Wisconsin basketball. I was not on that team, but to see the way that they parlayed going from the 2014 Final Four, Frank Kaminsky really became a nationally known basketball player. in the Elite Eight game against Arizona. And then he had all the hype heading into the 2015 season. Sports Illustrated magazine then became National Player of the Year, in which they knocked off 38-0 Kentucky, lost to Duke. But with that, I think that this team has a place in a lot of Wisconsin fans' hearts. And it being the 10-year reunion of the 2015 Final Four season, we came up with an idea here at our company to throw on a live event. I know we've talked a little bit about Thinalysis Live. You know, we do live events as part of our company, and we're like, well, why don't we do something with these guys that, you know, when we were in November, the university put on a great event, the 2014 and 15 Final Four reunion, but a lot of guys were overseas playing right now. Nigel Hayes is in EuroLeague playing really well. Sam Decker's now in Spain. Frank Kaminsky made it, but like, we didn't have everyone together. So our goal is to put on a live event where, simply put, you have general admission tickets to enjoy the show. We'll have some surprises, as always, of different people that might not be listed, but confirmed, Sam Decker, Frank Kaminsky, Bo Ryan, Josh Gosser, and then others are definitely going to be sprinkling in there. And so doing a live event where really you get to, like, if you love that team, right, and there's a lot of clips that go viral, not necessarily about them beating Arizona again in the Elite Eight or beating Kentucky where they were 38-0. It was Nigel Hayes, you know, accidentally slipping that he had a crush on the person who does the quick writing with their hands.
The stenographer.
Person. And so viral clips, like, those are the moments that made that team very likable. And to get everyone together 10 years later is going to be really special, because everyone's in different places in life. They either have kids or have started jobs or are still playing. So June being in the summer when most of the players who are still playing professionally are done with their seasons, getting them all to the Orpheum in Madison. So it's going to be on June 26th, a 2015 Final Four reunion. You can get your tickets at uwhoops2015.com. That is uwhoops2015.com. My job is to simply, believe it or not, stay out of the way, which is going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But I'll be hosting this and making sure that all those...
That's in direct contradiction. You're hosting and you have to stay out of the way? That doesn't make any sense.
I just want to set them up because they have stories that even I don't know that I'm interested in. The name of the event is Made 'em Believe, because Make 'em Believe was what they put on their shirts. And to be honest, like, I'd heard it, and like, I still don't even know who came up with it. Like, why was that the mantra for the team? Once you get all those guys together, they have stories after stories after stories about what each player sort of meant to the team on the court. And I'm not going to lie, I guarantee the off the court stuff is what they're most excited to talk about, because of how close all of these guys were, because they were able to spend 2 years going very deep in the NCAA tournament. And obviously tonight being the national championship, I appreciate you guys having me on to talk about how they at least, you know, got to see Duke choke, and it would have been nice to see them choke against the Badgers, but they did not.
How do you get tickets?
uwhoops2015.com.
We actually have put a link on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream. I see it there from ESPN Milwaukee right now. If you want to jump over to that, that's
additionally, ESPN Milwaukee on Twitter, we have a link in our bio. It's the link tree that has your podcast, all of our shows' podcasts, and a link to get to the tickets.
Did you guys ever get an explanation from Adidas as to why those uniforms were so ugly? And did that just directly lead to University of Wisconsin going to Under Armour?
Maybe
that's the worst part of watching these highlights, Ben. Those uniforms are terrible.
They're boxy. The shorts are ugly. I don't know if you guys saw what the Badgers wore against BYU, but those were made by the players. And there's like a Bucky on the shorts. Like, really cool. And I don't know if the Under Armour contract was signed already, and Adidas was just like, ha-ha, you're going out looking like these, you know, block guys, horrible jerseys, but they hated the jerseys as well. I know for a fact the players were like, what are these things? So a whole lot more to dive into than just like, what was it like, you know, hitting that shot? They're going to have stories for days.
What do you mean made the jerseys? They sewed them themselves? Yeah. Or what do you
designed the jerseys?
Yes. Okay. Yes. We didn't send them to a sweatshop.
Oh, these are bad. I didn't remember them being bad. Obviously, it's got a little bit of either. Like a,
oh, they're awful.
Full
horrible.
Like
there's just an awkward when it's the white uniform. It's got the awkward red stripe at the top of the short line.
Well, the red ones are the same. They've got the awkward white stripe. Right across your.
Your waistline.
I'll leave the innuendos to you guys.
Waistline, I believe, is the word you're looking for.
Yes, exactly. But it's long.
He's
it's
just like, giggling.
It's like it's like a.
So I'll see you there, right, Shu? UWHoops2015.com.
Yeah. What times? What time is it at 10 in the morning?
7 and 9 p.m. Yeah, at the Orpheum in Madison.
I got that thing going on.
Let me ask you a question, Ben. Chewy told us a story this morning about how he had some people over, and when it was time to wrap things up, the guy wouldn't leave. Do you have a go-to? Do you have a go-to line when you want people to leave your house?
Oh, man, that is a great question. I'm the person of our household that will be the more aggressive, like, all right, you know, like, you know, don't we have to take the daughter to blank or blank, you know?
My daughter!
Oh, she is the best excuse in the world for everything.
He's direct at telling people to leave and that they're not invited to his wedding. He's very good at that.
Was waiting for... You know what? You made it
you
pretty far,
out.
Joshy.
It's
8:52, it's pretty late for you to drop in.
You
the,
lucked out, because that was
the wedding jab.
A major part of this
well,
gathering.
You know what? Just stick around. Will you just hang out with us? Yeah, Ben Brust hanging out with us this morning.
For the negative minutes we have for our final segment.
The last minute will be me saying UWHoops2015.com and then Josh proceeding to berate me on how I put him in the worst spot in the world.
We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
There is just one more game left in the college hoop season, and you can get in the action with Wanna Parlay. That's WANNA. It's just $2 for taking home a huge cash prize. It's a blast and so simple to use, and there are new basketball, baseball, hockey, and combat sports contests every single week. It's only $2 to enter a parlay into the contest, plus there are always free-to-play games. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app and click around. If you decide to deposit money, you can use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match. Code JGC. Must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
In the final seconds we have here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Ben Brust, tell everybody where they can get tickets to the event.
UWHoops2015.com. It's going to be at the Orpheum in Madison on June 26th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., celebrating the 2015 Final Four team, getting everyone live and in person for an event.
And who do you got in the game tonight?
I love Houston. There are dogs. And I saw they were underdogs. I was like, people are just going to still hang on to Florida. And it's been a very chalky. A lot of favorites have been winning, but I love Houston.
Oh, four number ones in the Final Four is chalky? You don't say.
But even like the favorites covering against the spread, also chalky.
Of course you were talking betting. What was I thinking?
Yeah, he wasn't. You got to pick that up.
Josh, how you doing?
I got a text message this weekend. It was a picture of that Final Four team. Ben Brust was involved. Text message from my mom read, still dead to me.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I got some stuff up my sleeve to make Brenda happy. Brenda before Josh, at least.
Yeah. Just say, you got a lot more work to do there.
Really
it's going to be a year process.
Will, Dean, Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee.